Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
And WWL is your home for LSU baseball. In fact, at 5:30 this evening, you'll be hearing him do the pregame and the first pitch a little after 6 o'clock. I'm talking about the voice of the Tigers, Chris Blair, who joins us now. Chris, are you at Bryan College Station in Texas already?
No, actually still cruising through, on our way over from Baton Rouge. We left campus early this morning, so... I hate to have to miss out on a couple extra days in beautiful Bryan College Station, but I'll manage.
Well, how was that 1:30 a.m. game the other night? Were you holding up pretty good? I got to tell you, I didn't make it. I had to see the replay the next day.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, you know, obviously you kind of forget once the game gets going. I mean, just simply because it was kind of as advertised, the opening game. You know, we didn't start till 9:55 Friday night, but... You know, Liam Doyle was Liam Doyle, and Kate Anderson was Kate Anderson, and you know, you had to wait for the big ending there in the bottom of the ninth inning, and you know, it was amazing. Kudos to the fans. I mean, you know, during that entire delay, it looked like the majority of people had left, and certainly I understand why. You make your plans based on a 6:30 first pitch, and suddenly it's 9 o'clock. But once the game got started, suddenly the grandstand started filling up, and, you know, the diamond deck and the left field landing had a lot of people in it, and it was quite amazing. I mean, you can go back and listen to it at, after 1 a.m. when Jared Jones sent that ball to Nicholson over the batter's eye. I mean, it was hard to tell that it was 1:30 in the morning.
Well, a guy who gets up and has to be live and alert at 5 a.m. to do an outdoor radio show on Saturday mornings, I really appreciate when the games start at 6, as opposed to 6:30 or even 7. It just gives a little bit of extra time. What determines the start times on those games? Why are some at 6 and some at 6:30 and some at 7?
Well, as my predecessor Jim Hawthorne wisely said years ago, TV runs our lives. And so it's all based on, you know, where you fall, where you're on, you know, ESPN, ESPN2, SEC Network, or whether you're on the SEC Network Plus streaming. And then they just kind of line up each game. It's kind of the conference and the wise people at ESPN. So that's they tell us when we start.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that I've noticed about this year's team and looking at the coaching dilemma, I call it a dilemma because it appears it's hard for Jay Johnson to come up with a regular starting lineup. He has got so much talent, and that is a great problem to have. And going back to old Skip Bertman's philosophy, he said he would like to start, he always starts his best nine, not necessarily the nine best, meaning the ones that complement each other in a nine-man squad that present the best team is the one he goes with, not necessarily the nine best players. How do you think Coach Johnson's doing in managing this dilemma of who do you play and who do you bench?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is it's a challenging proposition. And again, I think they've done a tremendous job, speaking of Jay and the staff, of being able to not only assemble this type of talent, but for the most part, you know, you look at a guy like Josh Pearson, who obviously grew up wanting to play for the Tigers. But, you know, Josh is a guy who really, since his freshman year, you know, probably could transfer, go somewhere. Probably chances are he'd be an everyday guy. So the ability for Coach Johnson to really emphasize big team, little me in 2025, and really he's been able to do it since getting here, I think is you know, he needs to be complimented for, because that's not easy to do. And, you know, I think as we get closer, you know, with three SEC weekends remaining, I think you can pretty much, if, you know, maybe not in ink, but very dark number two pencil, I think you can put in the lineup that he thinks now is the best combination. And again, we've seen over the last two weekends alone, not to mention really all season, that, you know, LSU has the ability in certain positions to, you know, again, certain matchups, certain parts of the game, depending on the score and the situation, you know, be able to go to the bench and put a guy at the plate, and they've been able to come through. And that just speaks to the depth and talent of this team. I mean, I have seen in 10 years of SEC baseball, you know, LSU leading, you know, by 6-8 runs late in the game, and you're typically going to see 1-2 or possibly 3 pinch hitters in a row. And frankly, you just get the sense that, hey, this is an opportunity for a guy to get in at bat in a meaningful game. But, you know, you don't really think they're going to do anything, and rarely do they. And then I look at LSU this year, when you've called upon Ashton Larson, or even most recently Dalton Beck, or even a Josh Pearson or a Jake Brown. I mean, the list goes on and on. They come in, and you're kind of expecting things to happen. And that's a, you know, we saw that obviously in that early morning win over Tennessee in game one. We saw a little bit of it. You know, I think of John Pearson, even though LSU lost game two, I mean, he's called a bomb and he just yanks one out of the ballpark. And then again, we saw it again on Sunday. So that to me speaks volumes of how deep and talented this team is. And I think Jay's got a pretty good feel on when to push those buttons and pull those levers. And, but I really do believe, Don, down the stretch here, you're going to see pretty much a consistent lineup. And that really goes only because we kind of saw that in 22, we saw that in 23, and we saw it last year once you kind of get to this point of the season.
Coach Johnson has instituted what he calls a Magic Moment Award. And maybe a lot of fans that are listening right now are not familiar with that, because it comes after the game and they may have already left the game or the broadcast. Explain what that is, what it's all about.
Well, Jay has always said, since I've been around him, that a game comes down to typically 6 or 7 pitches, you know, most games. And in those 6 or 7 pitches, a play will be made either at the plate by the batter, the pitcher on the mound, or the defense in the field. And, you know, I think what he's trying to do, again, just to compliment guys on their achievement, and typically that magic moment is one of those pitches. You know, again, whether or not it's a huge strikeout when you've got the bases loaded and you're holding a 1-run or 2-run lead, we've seen that from time to time. It's been a clutch hit when the Tigers have runners in scoring position, or maybe they don't and you need a home run and you get that, or whether it's a web gem, you know, that kept runners from scoring. So it's just a chance for him to, you know, kind of let the guys celebrate, and also kind of, again, it goes to that big team mentality that, yeah, we're going to single out this single play here, but it's going to change from game to game. And if you look at it and you watch it on social media, you'll typically see it's hard to get, you know, it's not as if Jay has kind of gotten to a comfortable groove that it's always going to be a big strikeout, or it's always going to be a big hit, or it's always going to be a big play. I mean, he's handed out a number of those, and there's been a number of different guys get it. And I think it's just, you know, it's his way of saying, hey, we do see you. It's a team concept, but there are times where players make extraordinary plays, and we want to honor you for that.
Yeah, it's a great tradition he started there. We're talking with Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Tigers. And, Chris, you get to travel to a lot of stadiums, as you're doing today. I don't know if there's a better fan base, a more involved and active and supportive base than the LSU fan base. But give me some examples of some of the other universities that might be close.
Yeah, I mean, I think you start with Mississippi State, again, and that's just simply because I learned very quickly here that SEC baseball is quite different than the rest of the country. And, you know, sometimes myself included, we take that for granted. But I think a lot of the credit obviously goes to Skip Bertman. And you know, Mississippi State fans will tell you the opposite. But I believe that Ron Polk was a perfect foil to Skip Bertman. And that's not to take away from Coach Folk's winning success at Mississippi State, but I think you need Batman and you need the Joker. And I think for a lot of years, when the rest of college baseball was pretty much an afterthought, those two guys and their respect for one another, but their ribbing of one another, I think elevated the game, not to mention that they had great players that went on to great careers in Major League Baseball. But I think Mississippi State has a great tradition. They certainly have a great, you know, venue now in the revamped Duty Noble. Texas A&M is a place that, you know, I don't doubt, you know, when we play this weekend, it'll be jammed full for a couple of reasons. One, they played better here of late. And two, LSU's in town. And, you know, Texas A&M, no offense here, but they wake up every day trying to be LSU. So they'll be fired up for this. Tennessee's kind of a Johnny come lately. I mean, they went years and years and years without a lot of success, and credit Tony Vitello. I mean, since he took over, they have become one of the top programs in the country, and it's not the biggest stadium in the world, but it certainly can bring the noise. And then Arkansas at Mom Stadium. I mean, you know, you saw last night they were able to jump on Texas pretty quick, and that's a tough place to you know, be able to turn things around. So, I mean, there's, again, because of what Skip Bertman did at LSU, I mean, you're seeing it now. I mean, the weekend at Auburn, they had capacity crowds. So there's really not a whole lot of places in the SEC where baseball is not, you know, top of mind. And the facilities have all gotten better. But I agree with you. You'd be hard-pressed to find a better place that at 1:30 in the morning becomes electric like the box did, you know, when Jones walked it off.
Absolutely. Chris, stay with us. We're going to take a break. We come back, I'd like you to talk a little bit about tonight's matchup and the weekend's matchup, and also what the SEC tournament, how that's shaping up. We'll be right back. We're talking with Chris Blair. If you got a question or a comment, we welcome it on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. We're back right after this. I'm Don Dubuque in for Newell Norman on WWL.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And we're joined by Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Tigers. He is en route as we speak to Bryan College Station to call the game. In fact, the three-game series with Texas A&M beginning tonight, pregame at 5:30, and then first pitch at 6 p.m. Chris, before we talk about the matchup with A&M and down the road looking at SEC contenders, I got an interesting question in from a listener. They wanted to know, do you think that Skip Bertman would have won as many titles in this age of college baseball? I guess he's talking about now with the clocks and the portal and the NIL and a lot of the differences now. I believe he would, because I think the guy was a natural-born innovator, and he would have made adjustments to those things to where he would continue to be a winner. What do you think?
Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And the reason I say that, it's funny, we just had this conversation last week with the great Warren Morris. Warren joined us in the booth for an inning, and I asked Warren, I said, you know, you and I know now about all of the analytics and all of the data and the spin rate and exit velocity and bat angle. I mean, everything that by every pitch and every swing of the bat is now measured. And they have just these giant books of data on every team and every player and their tendencies. And I said, what's interesting is when I talk to the players who played for Skip, they talk about his system, which obviously didn't have that type of information, but what he did have, it wasn't just a gut feeling. I mean, he used the data that he saw either with his eye or watching an old VHS tape. You know, they talk about he kind of knew the tendencies of players, which again, is quite remarkable. So for me, the fact that he was always kind of there on the cutting edge, you give a guy like Skip Bertman the information they have now, I think again, his development of players that you saw go on to have great careers at the next level, not to mention the fact they were incredible college players, that still says a lot. I mean, for the baseball, even with the transfer portal, there's still a lot of weight for these guys who typically LSU is recruiting. All of these guys have the potential to sign professional contracts out of high school. There's a reason why they want to come to LSU to develop their skills so that when they do decide to go to professional baseball, they get a little more leverage when it comes to the negotiating. And I think Skip was a master of that as well. So for all of those reasons, yeah, I think if you put a young Skip Bertman now as a head coach at, you know, whatever school you want to pick in Division I, yeah, I think he's going to be a winner, and he's probably going to have the same number of titles, if not more.
Mm-hmm. Another question, this one from a Mississippi listener, wants to know, what do you think of the one-and-done format at Hoover this year?
You know, I'm a little disappointed just simply because, again, I think you get more baseball, and I know there's more teams, so there's going to be, you know, more games. It's just, you know, how many great stories were there for teams that come there and it was, you know, this is my make or break. And you had that ability after the first round to hang around and, you know, possibly get even a rematch with the team that beat you first. I understand why they wanted all 16 teams to go. I still think there's an opportunity for teams to get there and make a magical run and maybe help their resume get them into a regional. So, I mean, that still exists. But I kind of like the old format. And, you know, not that I want a team punished for not winning enough games, because goodness knows every coach and every team's doing their best. It's, you know, it's almost like a reward when, you know, there's only a certain number that go. So, again, I hate to sound like the old guy that hates change, because I typically don't hate change. But I could have lived with the old format. But we'll see how it goes.
Looking at the current standings and the remainder of the schedule, your top four picks for the top positions in the SEC tournament, who would they be?
Ooh, yeah, I mean, I think Texas, at least up to this point, I know they struggled last night and got hammered by Arkansas, but, I mean, I think they obviously their consistency speaks volumes. So I think, you know, I mean, I think you're looking at Texas and Arkansas. I think LSU, obviously. And, you know, I think there's, and again, I don't know what particular order because there's 3 weekends remaining. But, I mean, I think when you look at consistency over the season, you know, I think those are the top three. I think your fourth spot, there's a number of candidates there. Obviously, Tennessee, they've struggled over the last 3 weekends, but there's no lack of talent on that team. You know, I think you can look at, you know, a Georgia. I tell you the team that nobody has talked a lot about this year, and I think mainly for LSU, it's simply because they're not on our schedule. You know, I wouldn't throw dirt on Vanderbilt just yet either. But I think you've got your top three teams. I think there's probably going to be a closer battle for that fourth top seed, you know, when all is said and done. And frankly, you know, we were just talking in the car here moments ago. I mean, when you look at the number of SEC wins and where everybody stands, I think Texas A&M is a dangerous team, and I think Florida is a dangerous team for a couple of reasons. One, neither team has a lack of talent. Now, they've had some injuries that have had some guys on the shelf, but I think with 3 weekends remaining, mathematically, they still could cause some trouble. That's why I think these weekends, this particular weekend, is critical for Texas A&M, which makes me a little nervous if LSU is able to be successful overall in the series. I think then that puts Texas A&M in a real tough spot mathematically. And for Florida, you know, they start this series against Pulmonary in South Carolina. I think the same thing is true. I think if South Carolina holds serve at home, that probably is all she wrote for a lot of the preseason goals for the Gators. But if they're able to somehow come out of this weekend a la, you know, Ole Miss from a couple of seasons ago, I think they've got the ability to be dangerous down the stretch. You know, not only in Hoover, but certainly once they get to a regional.
And your quickest 1 minute forecast on this weekend series with A&M, what are we looking at?
Well, I think LSU's got to continue to do what they've done offensively. And I know, you know, going back to Auburn, Don, there's, you know, wow, that was such an outlier of a weekend where they struggled so mightily. offensively. But, you know, it's a team that typically has batted, you know, 300-plus with runners in scoring position over the course of the season. And I think when you look at the last two games, the win against Tennessee and then the run rule against a very good Southeastern team, by the way, on Tuesday night, I mean, you kind of see LSU doing what LSU does and what you expect from a Jay Johnson offense. And, you know, I think that's going to be critical. The fact that they've been able to do it two games in a row, hopefully they carry that momentum over because they're going to have to score runs. You know, the Texas A&M-Texas series, you know, if you look at Texas A&M, Don, over the last four weekends, they won the series against Tennessee and Knoxville. They won a series against Arkansas and Fayetteville. They swept South Carolina, and then they lost all three to Texas in low-scoring one-run games. I kind of felt this way against Tennessee. I just didn't think three or four runs was going to be good enough to beat Tennessee each game, and I feel the same way against this weekend. I think the offense has to lead the way.
Should be very interesting, and we'll be tuned in. Thanks for joining us, Chris. As always, we appreciate it. Am I correct in assuming that this is your 10th year at LSU?
Yes, correct. 10th season, yeah.
Wow. How time flies, huh?
Time flies when you're having fun. Tight
yes,
lines to you, Don. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you. I will do that. Thank you very much. Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Tigers. All right, we'll be right back after this to tell you what's coming up in the 11 o'clock hour of the New Norman Show. Thanks for joining us right here on the Big 87.